there, and welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. And I deep breath, Jennifer, is it just me? It's like, oh my gosh, we have just the most incredible guest tonight. Today. This is going to go whenever, but for
whenever.
This episode.
There you go.
We have the Julie Stamm on our episode today.
Yes, Julie Stamm was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in 2007. Following her diagnosis, Julie made it her mission to educate, advocate, and support others battling chronic illnesses. She works tirelessly to help lessen the burden each patient has to bear. Her efforts have given her the opportunity to work with physicians, patients, and foundations across the globe.
After the birth of her son in 2016, Julie shifted her focus to supporting the children of parents with a chronic illness. Her children's book titled Some Days, a Tale of Love, Ice Cream, and My Mom's Chronic Illness was created to normalize differing abilities and amplify how each of us can thrive in spite of the challenges. In 2023, Julie co-created 52 Essential Inclusion Skills, an A to Z guide to kindness, compassion, and respect for diverse abilities with Mind-Brain Parenting's Dr. Jenny Wu. Welcome, Julie.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I am so excited. I follow you guys all the time. And it's like, I know you, but I don't know you. You know, it's very community.
We normally talk just a moment, but we like jumped right in because we really wanted to talk with you. You're an incredible voice in the MS community. And Dan and I both really admire you and everything you do. So I guess... where do we begin?
This is something, Julie, that I always like doing, and just because we can read about you and your bio and everything online, but I always say, what's your elevator speech? So I'm always like, if we ran into you, met you on the ground floor in the lobby of a hotel, and we had 30 floors to go up, what would your elevator speech, what would you want people to know in the elevator, 30 floors were up? What do they need to know about who Julie Stamm is?
Wow, I think 30 floors would give me a lot of time to make someone be more kind. So I think my goal is pretty simple. I want the world to be kinder and more empathetic. One in six of us have a disability, and I think pretending like that's not the reality isn't helping anyone. And I think what we see in media is often everyone's best image and what they want people to see, but that's not necessarily the reality. So I'm very committed to normalizing what the world looks like and showing what it actually is and making no one feel alone. I remember, 16 and a half years ago getting diagnosed and I was alone, and the internet wasn't as great as it is now. And I never want anyone to feel that way. It's terrifying, and we're in such a better shape now. So, in my 30 floors up, I would tell them, like, just be kinder. Just be better people. Like, I think we can all learn from that. And I strive every day to instill that in my son, which is my priority. And I am very committed to showing what differences look like because, I have an invisible illness right now, but it's transforming and it's terrifying. And the more we see, Selma Blair and Christina Applegate embracing their devices that help them live a better life, the more empowered we feel to utilize them. Instead of staying home and not going out because you're scared of falling, you're like, okay, this is normal. This is going to let me live a better life. I'm the same with that with catheters. I have to use them. I'm okay about that. My husband says it's just like needing glasses to see. It's just something to let you live your life.
And that is, that's such a good point. And I think that when I first started using my wheelchair, it's surprising, something that seems so common to me. And even still today, Julie, people will be, when I speak, or just like a little put off or a little uncomfortable with disability, with a wheelchair. And so I think that's why this 52 essential inclusion skills is so important. People need to see the disability, it's okay, and that people can live quality lives.
Yeah, and I think you and your husband show that, and that's why it was really important. You know, and it was kind of a shot in the dark. So I was like, I don't know if they'll do it. You know, it's hard to get one person to commit, but then to get two. So I was very appreciative when you guys were, because I think it's, you guys are extraordinary because you're both battling the same disease, but different courses of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's hard for people to understand, even just, you know, for me, that they're like, my aunt had it, my cousin had it. But as a couple that's living life together, it must be you're constantly explaining why it's different. It's not the same disease. But I'm very appreciative that you both were involved. And I can't wait to highlight you and just share your story. And, you know, we're going to be in stores across the world. And Dr. Jenny Wu, the co-creator, she's sold in over 50 countries. I mean, she's absolutely brilliant. And so just knowing that, using her voice because she has it, and to get it in the hands and help spread awareness is very exciting to me.
That's very exciting. Did you ever imagine that? I mean, I want to go back, Julie, to kind of where you came from, if you don't mind. But just, could you ever imagine that this could be something? You're diagnosed with a crappy chronic illness, and look at all that you're doing now. How amazing.
I know. And I'm really like, I'm very proud of the work that I do. And I think if I wasn't as involved, this disease would be a lot harder for me, because everything that I do, as much as it seems like I'm doing it to help other people, it's helping me. Mm-hmm. It's not selfless at all. It's, you know, whenever I help someone through it, they're helping me also, because it's giving me a reminder of like, okay, we can do this. It's not only a pep talk for them, it's a pep talk for myself. So it's not selfless. But
and that's a good point that I think people listening, especially if you're newly diagnosed, you need to embrace and accept and try just to get out there to share your story and hear other people share theirs. It's a win-win, like you said.
Yeah, for sure.
And I guess then, because we're talking about the 52 essential inclusion skills, it's just a question of how did this come? Because as we're talking about this, I think I'd seen that you had like a countdown to 10 days until it's ready. It's is it May 31st?
June 1st. My son's birthday is the day that it will be officially launched, which is very exciting. And Jenny is like an absolute powerhouse. And when we started working on this a few months ago, I was like, do you think we can get it done by June? She's like, absolutely. And she has, she is wonderful and just has brought my dream to life. And I'm very grateful for her.
So that is, you say, my dream. How did this come about? You're sitting around eating Doritos one night, and then boom, how about this?
I wrote my first children's book, and then I wrote a second one. And I feel like this is not, I think it's wonderful that there's so many people getting published and writing books, but I feel like the publishing market's a little bit oversaturated right now. So what I wanted to do was create something a little bit different. And so I wanted to, initially my thoughts were to create like a matching game so that we would have just different abilities highlighted, whether it be using a walking stick or a wheelchair or visually impaired. Just to have these images in children's minds earlier. And then it was like, oh, maybe it'll be a Candyland style game. And I had all these like prototypes and, you know, pitches that I was going to send to Mattel and all these big dreams that I had. And I was talking to my older sister, and who happened to have her sister-in-law at the house and is good friends with Dr. Jenny Wu. And she said, you should talk to Jenny because she has a card line. She can give you some direction and help you kind of figure out how to make your dream a reality. And, you know, we hit it off, and she's just so wonderful. And she's had this 52 essential, you know, she has a whole series of them. This is her ninth. So she's very successful with it. And, you know, I was like, there's 26 letters, and then 26 times two is 52. And we were like, 52, and then like inclusion skills. So we just kind of, it evolved very organically. But, and it moved quickly. I have to tell you, it moved so quickly. And I had already had a children's A to Z book that I had written. So we used the words from there and we altered it together to make it fit the card type. And it really, it's come to, so it, it has definition cards and then it has prompt cards, which kind of put you in action and give you actionable items that you can, and how to advocate for yourself and how to advocate for others, things that are really important to me. And then on each card, there's a QR code to a different hero, which is very exciting. So each hero, it brings you to their website, to their individual page. And on that page, you can learn more about what they're battling, how they're getting through it. And they, everyone's asked the same questions, you know, how to explain your difference to a child. What does it feel like to live with that? And also, like, what brings you joy? And not one of our heroes, and we have plenty, we didn't, you know, we have more than the 52. None of them have anything that's tangible. It's always about family and love and helping others. And I think that's a really important takeaway for people to realize that that's more important than any car or house or toy, you know.
Absolutely.
What matters is family and friends and people that bring you joy.
And this, I mean, and this is so incredible. And I, we will have links to this and all of Julie's books in the liner notes for this episode. But it, it is a question then, I mean, because this is so incredible, such a genius idea and everything. But then looking back and thinking 15 plus years ago in 2007, when you're diagnosed, and it says, you know, following your diagnosis, you made it your mission to educate, advocate, and support others battling chronic illnesses. How soon after you were diagnosed do you say, this is what I'm going to do?
So I used to work in finance, and I wouldn't say that that was my calling. It just happened to be what I went to school for. It's not something I'm like, oh no, I miss it. but I was forced at that time to medically retire. So at that point, I, you know, I had to take care of my health and try and like get my head around the diagnosis. But then it was like, what am I going to do? I don't want to, like, I wasn't going to go back into finance. I knew that I felt very betrayed by the whole financial world at that time, you know, because like, it, even though it was one company, but I felt like betrayed by an industry. And I was like, I need to do something more meaningful with my life, something that I go to bed at night and I feel like I left my footprint. And so that's when I started volunteering with the MS Society in the UK, which is where I lived at the time. And then when I moved back to the States in 2009, I started volunteering in the US. And that's when it really became a passion of mine. And I just, you know, started just as a volunteer a few days a week. And then I became a peer-to-peer advocate and then a champion and worked all the MS bikes and all those things. And from there, you know, my son really changed it for me because it shifted from like helping others. Then it was like, I want to help children understand this because we have so many amazing advocates for the adults. Like we have you guys, we have Damien, we have Dawn, we have amazing advocates out there. And I think the children need to be seen too because they don't have MS, but they definitely live with it. There's some, you know, level of guilt that comes with that. And as much as I try not to have guilt about it, but I think all parents have guilt, whether or not they had enough vegetables or screen time. But when you have a chronic illness, it's a different kind of guilt.
Yeah, I can't imagine. And it's something that's interesting to me because Dan and I do not have children. And that was our decision. But what is it like to be a mom with multiple sclerosis? If you can, it's a really broad question, but if you don't mind just giving me a snippet.
Well, you know, it's funny that you guys have chosen not to have children because I didn't think I could have children. So I, Jack, it was a very big surprise.
good surprise.
The best surprise that you could possibly imagine. And I wouldn't change it for the world. But he was not a planned pregnancy because number one, I was concerned about being a parent with MS and how that would impact a child's life. And I just didn't know if my body could handle it. There were a million concerns. But then becoming a mom, my life has changed. He's given my life purpose. There's nothing more important than being his mom to me. And I love him like with every ounce of my body.
Ah, that's so sweet. And is it, I mean, was like having a baby is how stressful? I mean, how does that impact your health? It's crazy, Julie. I know other women with multiple sclerosis, but I've never really, you have a small, like how old is Jack is? Five?
Six.
Six.
He's, yeah.
So has it been difficult? Has it affected your MS?
I have learned a lot. So the pregnancy itself was very easy. I didn't have any like issues. I didn't have relief because I have progressive MS. So I didn't have like relief of my symptoms, but I didn't feel like I got worse. But I did after he was born. I had a real decline. There was no doubt about it. And I overdid it with steroids. And now I'm 44 with cataracts, you know, like...
Oh.
There's a physical toll that having a child takes on your body, and that's whether or not you have MS. And I've learned a lot of what I wouldn't do. I wish I didn't take all the steroids. I wish I, you know, let my body rest a little and asked for help. Maybe was a little less stubborn because, you know, other people can help. It was kind of, I really wish I, you know, wasn't such a stubborn person, but that's in me. But but once I, you know, found my feet and my body recovered from, you know, pregnancy and having a baby, and I was very fortunate in the fact that, you know, he was double breech, so there was no chance of having a natural birth. So I had a cesarean section, so there was no, you know, none of that physical trauma in that respect. Obviously physical trauma from a C-section, but it's different than labor for hours. You know, some people have labor for days. And then, I hit my milk never came in, so I didn't have to freak out about breastfeeding him. So I got very blessed. So it's like, he made the decisions for me. So I, you know, the things that most people have guilt about, he fixed those for me. So I'm very lucky with that.
No, and I guess then I'm just thinking out loud on this, Julie, where it's like thinking about you as a mother with multiple sclerosis. And it's like, you know, we can turn to places like in the MS world for support group, for help, for other people who understand what we're going through. And so does it make it more challenging? Because obviously how many families, how many women have children? And so like you get a mom's group or whatever, but it's like, is it harder to find than other mothers with multiple sclerosis, or is that more plentiful than I realize, because I obviously don't have children and I'm not a mother with MS? But I mean, you read about in all these self-help books and things for mothers in general, but then all of a sudden you add the element of a mother with multiple sclerosis. Is it harder that way?
You know, Dan, that was like a big thing for me. And then I realized something after, you know, my son entered school. This was not before. So when he started kindergarten, when he was five, every mom has something. So whether it's Hashimoto or Crohn's or a J pouch or every mom, depression, anxiety, every single mom that I've ever met with a child has something that they're battling.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the reality of the world. I mean, I'm sure there are people, but someone in their family has something that they're battling. So I think it is hard to find, and I wouldn't say it's hard to find other moms with MS, but in your own clique of mom friends that you eventually form with your child's friends, they all have something. And I think that's like when you finally open up, that's the hard part, is that it takes a minute to get to that level where you start talking about diseases.
Yeah.
But once you do, I think we all just become each other's, you know, crutch if we need it. And they can tell, you know, the other night we went to bingo and sat down, like I'm 40 and I'm 44 and I go to bingo, but I love it. but we sat down, had a couple of glasses of wine, and there was no getting back up for me. And my legs were not going to get me home. And I had three moms carry me home, and it was heartbreaking and embarrassing. And the next morning I sent them like a text message because I just cried myself to sleep that night. And they were like, shut up. What are you talking about? We did that for any of you. Like, it's not a big deal. Yeah. And I think that just surround yourself with people that are kind is really important.
And that is so true for the world, you know,
yeah, exactly.
that everybody is going through something and living with something. And the essential skills, the inclusion skills, just about kindness, like you were talking about at the beginning, that's a lesson. And I can think we all should have two or three really good friends that would carry us home, whether we be drunk at the bar or our legs not working because we have multiple sclerosis. But just to have that, that's something to aspire to, is just to surround yourself, to have a couple good friends that you can count on.
Absolutely. And like, you know, what the moms here, they know, stand on my left side because my left leg gives out all the time. There's always one on my left side. And they don't make me feel weird about it. They just know that my left leg gives out all the time, you know. So it is important to surround yourself with people that are just going to be there for you and not make you feel like a burden, but like, hey, we all need help sometimes.
And just, this is a total kind of flight of random question, sort of, but you had talked about your finance background and then you having to give that up. And then where does your writing skill come from? I mean, you're an incredible writer, and I just wondered, did you develop that in college or did that come after you quit working in finance?
I think it came, well, definitely after being in finance. I wouldn't say I was ever very good at academics in any arena. But when something is important to me, that's when I know how to do it. And so whenever I write from my heart. So I don't think I'm a particularly well-written person, but I think that I write with my whole heart. And I think hopefully that comes across in my writing.
Absolutely. And it's one of those things, did the passion for writing, it came after your MS diagnosis. And that's where I find that in amongst our support groups, a lot of people that we talk with, they find passion that they didn't have time for until they got their MS diagnosis, and it straightened them up to focus on family and wellness and what really matters to them. So I thought that was just interesting.
That's like the silver lining of this disease, is that we finally figure out what, you know, makes us leave our mark.
Yeah, that's the truth.
And it's funny, when we were looking for, you know, there's 52 cards and each one with a QR code. It was remarkably easy to get 52 and different diseases, you know, like 52 heroes. It was so easy that it really solidified the fact that everyone does have something. Mm-hmm. You know, within, I would say, 2 weeks, we had 52 cards filled. So, yeah, it wasn't hard to get people to share their stories. And yeah, and I think people love sharing the story. At least I hope people love sharing their stories, because they're helping other people by doing so.
And how does this work? I mean, when you're talking about sharing stories and everything with this and all the work that you do, and you have multiple sclerosis. And so then it's just a question of, how do you find the time to stop? I mean, how difficult is it for you to find the moments to just take a break, because you are so engrossed in all the other things that you're doing, plus you're a mom to a 6-year-old. And I mean, it's just like,
yeah.
How is it hard to find the time to just say, I need to stop?
It's really, really hard. And that's why, you know, when my son goes to bed at 8, I'm going to bed with him. You know, it's really hard to turn off. Sometimes your body, and you know, I have optic neuritis, sometimes my vision's just like, well, we're not going to participate for the day. So, So even if you want to do this, you're not going to be able to. But it's frustrating, but it's also rewarding. So I try to set timers, which is helpful to me, just so I know, hey, you get an hour today to allocate to this. And I know if I do more, sometimes it's too much. So I have to like give myself a little bit of grace, even if it's frustrating. But I know if I do too much, it's not going to be a product that I'm proud of. So I've learned to take a step back, and I'd rather take longer to do something and do it right than speed it up and it's not something I'm proud of.
Wow. taking a book out or a page out of your book there, Julie, that's really good stuff.
That is deep. Yeah, just, and it's one of those things, Dan and I, you know, we both have been diagnosed for over 20 years, and you would think, oh, we've got it in the bag. But then Julie, you say something, or somebody in one of our support groups say something, like, you never stop learning about this disease, and just the idea to take your time so you do it well, so that you're proud of it. Just that's good.
Well, thanks. Well, I can prove it. If you ever read stuff that I put together really quickly, it's not something that I'm proud of. So this is trial and error I've learned over the years.
So what's this like then, as you're writing the books and working on these projects, and you talk about Jack being, you know, your everything, and it's like, you know, in terms of, like, you know, what you need to teach him, what you have to teach him about multiple sclerosis and living with a chronic illness, what has he taught you about multiple sclerosis?
You know, everyone's always saying, like, what did I do? How did I get here with MS? Like, what caused it? I think I was meant to be his mom. I think he was born the kindest soul. He's the only kid that waits for all of his friends to have food. He won't take a bite of pizza at a pizza party until every kid has a slice in front of him. He is like, I don't know. Like, he's just born to be like the kindest child. And I think there are things that are hard for me, you know, he'll like make potions. We just do all these crafts and stuff, but he'll make potions and he'll be like, look, mom, I'm going to put this in your chicken pox garden. It's going to cure MS. And like, you have to give it to him for a moment, you know, like, yeah. Oh, he cured me, you know? And then he'll be like, try and jump, you know, cause he knows I can't jump. And like, somehow I'll be like, I can do this. But, you know, I think I don't know what he's going to be one day, and I don't care. I always tell him, I do not care how well you do at school academically. That's never going to be a priority to me. What matters is that you're a good person. I don't care. I genuinely don't care about his grades. I don't, and he's a perfect student, so it's probably helpful to feel that way. But but I genuinely don't care if he goes to bed and he knows he did the right. He protected his friends. He's kind. He never, you know, there's a little girl in his class that said she had a prosthetic leg. My niece has a prosthetic leg. So he was like, that's cool. So does my niece. And turns out she doesn't. But it was like, just him being that kind soul that would never, you know, he's used to a mom with MS. I do worry how he's going to react when I have to use a walking stick. If I'm being honest, I do worry about that. You know, like, this is because of catheters. He's like, is it because you don't have a penis? Like, no, that's not why. So I'm wondering, you know, like, all of these things he's exposed to very young. But I think, you know, like, he has friends with diabetes that have pumps on them, and, you know, all those different things. And, you know, he's a friend that has a Rett syndrome that, you know, isn't verbal. So, you know, he's just a nice kid. And this is what happens with MS. You forgot the question. Start talking about your child. Like, he's wonderful. But yes, he has given me my purpose for sure.
Yeah. And just, I imagine that if and when you do not need to use a walking stick, Jack will be okay with it. You know, he'll roll with it. He'll understand. So that's wonderful that you have such a good son.
Yeah, I'm really proud of him. You guys have to meet him one day. He is definitely a sweet soul.
Isn't that would be amazing, you know, just, we need to have some big multiple sclerosis party where a bunch of us get together and just all across the country, but Zoom and COVID, that's one upside of COVID that we've all figured out how technology works, and we can make exactly. that possible.
Yeah, we should do that. I'm going to get on that with Damien or Julie.
That would be epic.
That would be fantastic.
So then what is next? I mean, obviously you say June 1 and this comes out. I mean, obviously we're not looking past this, but I mean, do you have plans for the future then? Or you're just like, I'm doing enough, Dan. Stop.
No, it's so funny. I wrote two more books. I have them already written. I don't have a puppet. I haven't figured out what I'm going to do, if I'm going to actually do anything with them. But I think my mom has dementia, so I don't think, I know my mom has dementia, so I want to write a children's book on that. But also, I know that's not MS related, but I want to continue to write and hopefully continue to create. I want to run with this deck for a long time right now. I'm going to take a little break, and I'm going to run with this for, I'm going to give it a solid 12 months of focusing on getting the word out and getting more heroes up and just getting more aware. I mean, I learned so much from some of our heroes. There are diseases that I'm like, I even learned from MS people. I'm like, I have this disease. How did I learn from you? Like sometimes you feel, and the longer you know, as long as you have it, you feel like you know so much, and then you learn something new and you're like, wow. So I want to continue to highlight people's stories, and I want my son's school is brand new. And I don't think their playground was made accessible. And I find that really upsetting because it was built from scratch. It's not like a grandfathered-in playground. So I want to coordinate some kind of fundraiser to get that to be an accessible playground on a smaller scale. But that's like my goal for next year.
Yeah, I think that would be a very good goal, and I think it's needed if you wanted to write a children's book about about your mom. Multiple sclerosis isn't the only thing that you can write about. I think we all feel like we can share you with other things.
I
So
know we have too many brilliant people in our community. I'm
yes.
like, I need to step back.
And speak the truth. Oh, no, just keep writing and taking on other subjects.
Thank you. I'm excited to grow and learn more, and I don't know where this year is going to take me, and physically and all that. So it's gonna be a lot of growth, but the deck is my number one priority for right now.
And it's incredible. And again, we will have links on our liner notes to the 52 Essential Inclusion Skills and Julie's books and everything, so that you can. I'm just really. I mean, okay. So truth be told, we're featured, but it's just like I want to see what everybody else. I want to see what you have in this. It's just
Oh my
incredible.
gosh, we have so many amazing. Like, we have Rett syndrome, we have pediatric cancer, we have pediatric cancer survivors, we have amputees, we have autistic nonverbal, we have like lupus, we have rheumatoid arthritis, neuromyelitis optica, even just AD, not just. Oh my gosh, even AD. That's my niece, ADHD. I'm just saying just because it's just my niece Lucy. We have, people that are living, we have nonverbal quadriplegic cerebral palsy, type 1 diabetes in a 5-year-old, and like it's just so many brilliant, and every story is uplifting, and they don't have to be, but they wrote their stories. I gave you guys are aware of this. I didn't give parameters that it has to be this bright, fun story. It has to be your story in a child-friendly manner. So it can't be, doom and gloom, but not one of them. And I've learned so much from each of them.
And all I'm hearing in my head is, what an awesome Christmas present. And just that would be something just to share and to educate people. And it goes back to kindness at Christmas. What a cool idea for something. So yeah, I think that's going to be very, very Christmas list worthy, Dan Dickman.
Well, thank you. We have we have a hot mess. We have some pretty good MS names in there, so I'm hoping they all shout it out.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, we will again, we'll have that. And we'll also have more in-depth information about this on our blog through the 7 questions with a couple we will have, where Julie answers the 7 burning questions about the 52 essential inclusion skills. So look at that at Dan and Jennifer, or at acoupletakesonms.com. And so, Julie, is there anything else? Because we actually then, too, are tipping this off because Julie is going to be featured in this episode for the MS in Their Voices, where she will read an excerpt from some of her writing. But Julie, is there anything else that we haven't talked about here that you're just like, I really hope they ask me a question about this so I can talk about it?
No, I'm just so appreciative. And I wish you guys, I want to know when you're coming to Colorado, but other than that.
That would be amazing.
Well, you have a place to stay, so.
Oh, thank you.
That is so awesome.
I think you guys really covered it, and I appreciate you having me on so much.
Well, we appreciate you being here, and it's just like we could have like a big 10-part mini-series just of the Julie Stamm story, because you are so incredible. So thank you so much. Well, we will take a break here, and we will be back with MS in Their Voices.
A new segment for our podcast is MS in Their Voices. This segment features the writing of MS authors who will read to you the powerful words of their personal essays, poetry, and prose. For this episode, Dan and I are excited to feature Julie Stamm.
Julie is a widely featured author of essays and articles that she has written for outlets including HealthGrades and the National MS Society Momentum Magazine. Following the birth of her son, Jack, she wrote the book Someday, A Tale of Love, Ice Cream, and My Mom's Chronic Illness, based on their experiences as a mother and son and overcoming the obstacles MS can impose on everyday life.
So I chose a little snippet from one article that I wrote about it being okay to grieve the loss of the old you, because we just recently had the MS walk, and that is my day that I allow myself to feel all of the feelings that can come with this disease. So this is just a short part of that essay. She didn't see it coming. She didn't know it would be her last trip to the office, her last carefree stroll, her last of many lasts. I look back at that girl, the woman I was, and barely recognize her. She certainly isn't who I am now. A lot of people say I have MS, but MS doesn't have me. However, MS has me. MS stripped me of the person I planned to be. While that may sound like a very grim statement, and sometimes I think it is also acknowledging who I am now. I am not writing this to uplift you, but rather to remind you it is okay to feel sorrow sometimes about what has been stolen from you. While there isn't currently a cure, I know all of us with MS hope to regain what has been stolen. However, on this day, I allow myself to feel and realize that new reality may be permanent. It's a day to give in and let MS win. A day to tap out, knowing full well that tomorrow you will get back up and fight on. You will fight for your family and your friends, but most importantly, you will fight for that girl, the previous version of you. You owe it to her.
Wow,
indeed. That's Thank you for sharing that.
And I mean, that's why we wanted to do this segment. It's just like, you know, authors have such powerful written voices, but when it's read out loud by the person who wrote it, I just think it's so powerful.
Oh, thanks. I'm so glad you let me read it. It was a hard write, and I like appreciate sharing it because I know that a lot of people feel that way. So I hope that some people find comfort in it.
Absolutely. We hope so too. I'm sure they will.
Thank you again to Julie Stamm for joining us for this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. It's been so great to have you here with us, Julie.
Oh my goodness, you guys. Thank you so much. And I'm so glad we finally got to get on together.
Absolutely. And so, be sure to check out the liner notes to get more information on everything we just talked about with Julie. And until next time, we are A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Dan Digman, and I'm walking.
I'm Jennifer Digman, and I'm rolling.
And until next time, take care of yourselves, move forward with us, and we'll see you soon.